We'll do our best to get to as many of you as we possibly can. But right now, another man who's out and about making observations on our behalf is Terry Flanagan. He's got his eye keenly fixed on nature. Where exactly are you, Terry, this evening?
I'm at Spencer Dock on the banks of the Royal Canal, just beside the Docklands train station, close to the Luke Kelly Memorial. I'm sure all of us remember poor Luke Kelly. He died in 1984. He was only 44 years of age. And there's this wonderful bust right behind me here. In fact, where I'm standing is a newly opened section of the Royal Canal Greenway, and it connects the Docklands with the North Strand, and it's wider than the rest of the canal. When I look up north, I can see the North Strand and the imposing Crow Park, and to the west is the Spire on O'Connell Street. But one thing I would say is there's plenty of wildlife here. Just before I arrived, or just as I arrived, a pair of herons came and they landed on the far side, and they're standing there about 100 metres apart, up to their ankles in water, not paying any piece of attention to me or anyone else that's walking by. They're just there fishing. I've got ducks swimming by, there's swallows over my head. But I've come to see something totally different.
What have you gone to see, Terry?
I've gone to see a species that's the bane of a lot of people's lives. And they're the gulls, or the seagulls. Now, I remember you used to call them seagulls, and Eric Dempsey corrected me once. He says, don't be calling them seagulls. They're not seagulls, they're gulls. And when I asked him, why are they not seagulls? And the answer is, and it's very good answers, because they can be found everywhere in Ireland, right into Athlone. Now, the gulls in question here are herring gulls, and they're present all the time. And I've come to watch a specific behaviour. No, not them feeding, not them mating, but to watch them bathing, of all things. Now, nearly all birds bathe. Think of the blackbirds and the starlings in your back garden, especially if you have a water feature. Gulls, they spend a lot of time in water, but they spend it in seawater, and this leads to salt in their plumage. And the amount of time and effort birds put into bathing, it shows us how critical feather maintenance is. Now, as I look out, I can see a small group of gulls have landed just about 100 metres away from me. And one or two always land first, then the rest seem to come in. And they seem to follow a routine. They land, they take a drink of water first, they duck the head under the water, they settle on the water, then another ducking of the head, then this flapping of the wings. And when all that's over, they follow it with preening. They need to force this surplus water from between their feathers to protect their insulating properties. Now, among them all, there's a lesser black-backed gull. Now, he's not joining in. He's just resting. He's taking no interest in what the others are doing. And what happens then is a small group have just landed very close to me here onto the edge, the stone edging of the canal. Remember, the canal is man-made, so the edging of the canal here is, I don't think it's granite, it's some other stone. And they show little interest in the locals. The locals are going about their business, they're walking up and down, and it gives us a great chance to study animal behaviour, in this case, the behaviour of these gulls. Now, people don't have to come down here to the Docklands to see this. I've seen it in many other places, in the park, in the Phoenix Park, along the Ordnance Survey Road, the quarry lake that's there. I think it's sometimes called the Island Lake. There's also a lake called the Machine Lake, very close by. Don't ask me why it's called a Machine Lake, I haven't a clue. Also in Talla, I've seen it in the Sean Walsh Memorial Park. And I'm sure there's lots of similar small lakes and ponds around the country where this behaviour could be observed. I've got a question for Aina and for Niall, and that is, while I'm looking in here now, all of the gulls bar one are adult gulls. They're herring gulls. There's very few immature gulls, and the immature gulls that come in, I never ever see them preening. So I just wonder, do they behave differently or something?
Well, Terry, when it comes to the gulls all being adult, that is a very interesting observation. And what I suspect is happening, that these will be adults who are breeding at the moment, and so they're sort of associating with the colonies around the coast, perhaps even on rooftops around the city. And so they're all sort of moving together, sort of safety in numbers, when they know that the chicks are safe and the weather conditions are just right. Whereas the juvenile birds, or the immature gulls that aren't fully adult yet, because it takes about 4 years for herring gulls to reach sexual maturity, they're not so tied to the areas near the nesting sites. They can travel much more widely because, of course, they're not having to come back to incubate eggs or to tend chicks. So they're free to go wherever they like. For these adult gulls who are breeding at the moment, they can't really go all that far. So they have to get the bathing done when they can. And it's very important for them to have their feathers in absolutely tip-top condition at the moment, because, of course, those feathers are key to the insulating of the eggs when they're trying to incubate them. And any gaps or any dirt in those feathers would mean that the insulating properties would be spoiled and they wouldn't be quite so efficient. So the cleaner those birds can be, the better in terms of incubating their eggs and keeping their chicks warm. And of course, the salt water can also damage their feathers, as you said. So when they get a source of fresh water like this, they'll take advantage of it. And very often I've seen them, they really go for it. You know, they're really ruffling up their feathers. They're scrubbing away with their beaks. They really are. Like it's like watching somebody, you know, having a bath and splashing around in it, like bathing a toddler or something like that, because they do make quite a lot of splashing. And that's really to try and drive the water into the feathers to remove any salt and any dust and dirt and maybe parasites that are in there that would threaten their chicks. So that's why I think it's just the adults that you're seeing, because the juveniles, they're probably going off to other areas where they can bathe in a puddle. They don't have to be in big groups like that. And it's a bit safer for them to do that probably as well.
I was going to ask about what, I mean, herring gulls are coming inland more and more because of the way we are overfishing the seas and there's more territory for them to nest. But like long ago, herring gulls were called herring gulls and seagulls because they were at sea. And I mean, there must have been lots of gulls living on islands with no fresh water that would have had no access to fresh water. So do herring gulls need fresh water to bathe? What happens if you're only at sea in a sea situation and you don't have fresh water? Are you at a disadvantage if you're that sort of a situation where you're living?
Well, they don't absolutely need to have fresh water, but it's a big advantage for them if they do. So they can survive perfectly well with just salt water. They actually have a special organ that allows them to excrete it. So they can drink salt water. They're taking on obviously a lot of seawater in their diet and they can excrete that without causing them any harm. And if need be, you can bathe in salt water. It might shorten the lifespan of their feathers. It does have a corrosive effect, but it would at least keep them clean. But what they tend to do in those situations is that they use rainwater. So if there's a heavy rainstorm, you'll see the gulls then sometimes just standing there as though they're in the shower rather than the bath. And they're ruffling up their feathers in the same way. They're preening deeply with their beak to get those feathers opened up so they can get the rainwater in there. So they like storms for that reason. So you can sometimes see that at nesting colonies on islands around the coast where the gulls don't want to leave the nests because in a heavy rain, of course, their eggs could be chilled. So they're staying there. They do sit down, but they will still use that water to wash themselves. That's one of the ways that they would do it. Obviously, when you see the gulls moving into the city and inland, people talk about this a lot in Dublin, but of course, Dublin isn't inland. Dublin is a coastal city. And I think you can, you know, take it for granted that gulls have for millennia have come up rivers into urban areas. It's certainly since the founding of Dublin over 1,000 years ago, there have been gulls around the city.
Yeah, but it seems like there are a lot more now in the last few years than there ever have been. And people are not happy about it.
Well, part of it's perception.
There's a big hoo-ha going on.
There certainly is. And people's perception can be a bit biased when it comes to this. You certainly, in the winter months, you see more gulls around the urban areas than you actually do in the summer. We get a much bigger influx of gulls in the winter. They tend to be more along the coastal areas, but you regularly see them along the Liffey. What's happening at the moment that's bringing them into conflict with people is their propensity now to nest on top of rooftops,
yes,
particularly the herring gulls and the lesser blackback gulls.
Man-made cliffs.
Yeah, precisely. As far as the birds are concerned, they may as well be islands. They like to nest on secure islands and a high building surrounded by traffic and roads that's very secure
and
from predators.
June, July and August is the breeding season.
That's
so
exactly
they're getting
it.
Ready. I've seen a lot of gulls actually, herring gulls in particular, which is Terry is talking about in Stephen's Green, gathering up nesting material.
That's what they do. Yes, absolutely. So when you see a bird carrying sticks or bits of grass or whatever, dry grass, that's a clear sign that they're building a nest, because there'd be no reason for them to do that otherwise. They're not eating it. Now, we have seen in recent years an increase in gulls nesting on rooftops. Not an increase in gulls around urban areas. Dublin has always had a huge population of gulls. But nesting on rooftops, yes, that's becoming an increasing phenomenon.
But let me tell you, Niall, when I go for my little walk, and because we're all eating and socialising outdoors, and I sit in the park and I have a sandwich in front of me, a cup of tea, they are very cheeky and they really hassle you for a bit of your sandwich. The pigeons get the message pretty quickly. You could give a pigeon a dirty look and it's gone, but the gulls stay there and they keep coming at you, and in some cases they come flying and taking it. They come over your shoulder, they kind of behind you, attack you, take them. Should we just not cull them, get rid of them?
Well,
because that's what a lot of people want.
Oh, I understand they want it, but we absolutely shouldn't. We should bear in mind, of course, that this is a protected species under Irish and EU law, and it's not the fact that their population has increased. In fact, it has decreased. The population of herring gulls in Ireland went down by 90% over the course of just 30 years.
Well, it's hard to believe.
Well, but that's the thing. That's why we have scientific evidence to back all this up, because people's own anecdotal observations would be misleading in many cases, because people are seeing them more coming into parks, they're seeing them more coming into urban areas and onto rooftops. And it's really a sign of a species in crisis, not a species that's doing well and thriving. What's happened is, in terms of the breeding, first of all, many of the offshore islands around Dublin Bay, and indeed at other sites around Ireland where they would normally nest, have become overrun with introduced non-native predators. So things like brown rats, American mink, also problems with a lot of people going out there. There's a lot, you've got something like Ireland's Eye, for example, big gull colony out there, but you also see lots of day trippers just walking blithely through that colony. The gulls are swooping and panicking. And eventually some of them think, why am I nesting here? and it's not safe anymore, I'd be much better off nesting on one of those big tall buildings in the city where there aren't any human beings, because they're not up on the roofs and so forth. It's much safer.
Yeah, but now, cut to the chase. It's my sandwich.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be harassed by the gulls.
I understand that completely, nor do I when I'm there. It's only a few of the gulls that do that.
So most, what do we do?
Most gulls haven't learned that bad behaviour. I think the most important
thing... You must be joking. They're all at it.
I'm not joking at all.
When is the last time you sat in the park?
They're not, but they're not
all at it. With a sandwich in your hand or an ice cream.
But the ones that you see in the park, Derek, might be at it, but they're not the majority of the population. That's just a few of the rogue ones that have come in. And of course, they have learned this bad behaviour because of human bad behaviour.
Okay, so what do we do?
Well, first, the most important thing of all is to stop feeding gulls. It's very important that people don't throw them their chips or the end of their sandwiches so they don't learn to associate human beings with food. That's very important. You mentioned about the pigeons, obviously, that they'll back down and the gulls necessarily or won't necessarily do so. Well, if you look at the difference between a pigeon and a gull, what's a pigeon going to do to you if you try something? It's not going to be able to defend itself. Gulls themselves, they're a bit stronger, and they realise sometimes that they can get their way through brute force. So that's important. But I think we need to look at the gulls being in the urban areas not as the problem itself. It's a symptom of a much wider problem. And that problem is the collapse of the marine ecosystems. As Aina said, problems with overfishing. Climate change is also affecting the marine environment and their ability to feed. We need to make sure that their nesting colonies on the islands where they've nested for centuries around the Dublin Bay and elsewhere, that they are protected during the summer breeding season so that the birds aren't being disturbed.
So Birdwatch Ireland, you personally and Birdwatch Ireland would not be in favour of any kind of cull?
Absolutely not. We would in fact very much oppose it, and it would be contrary to any kind of to the law both here in Ireland and to EU law as well. So it would be actually a
So would you be ready for a fisticuffs with any organisations that would attempt? Would you really?
Not personally, I'm not going to actually fight anybody.
Well,
but
illegal
we would,
fisticuffs, but whatever you call it.
We are involved in this. We've been in discussions with the European Commission about this because it's an issue. We need to make sure that they're properly protected. But I understand people's frustration. I really do. I mean, it's not something people want to see. The problem with the birds nesting on the roofs and taking food, they are two completely separate issues, though. When birds become territorial from nesting on the roofs, that's because they're trying to protect their eggs and their chicks the same as they would on a nesting island. Those birds aren't necessarily being attracted in for food. That's because of a lack of nesting sites that are secure. The food one's a different issue. That happens year round. It's not just in the summer. The breeding behaviour is only in the summer.
It's very noticeable in the summer, and it's more noticeable now because people are socialising outside.
Of course, but
that's the reason we're really seeing it.
The reason it's more noticeable in the summer is because people are more likely to be outside eating in the summer.
Well, okay. Have you any suggestions on how I can deter gulls from wanting my sandwich when they're there?
Well, one thing that has been shown to work, a lot of research has been done in Cornwall, in England particularly, because it's long been a problem there, probably more so than anywhere in Ireland. And scientists have found that if you make eye contact with that gull, it's much less likely to approach. They like to sneak in. They don't like to take unnecessary risks. So if you eyeball it and just stare it down, it usually backs away. So that's what I'd recommend. Eyeball the gull. Just sit down. Maybe, if you can find a bench with where you have a back to the wall or to a tree or something like that. And then if the gulls are approaching, if you stare at them, they'll think, oh, I've been rumbled here. This is a bit risky. I'll just go somewhere else. So I would say eyeball the gulls. Stare them down.
That'll Terry, work. Eyeball the gulls. Have you got that?
Yeah, I'm eyeballing the gulls here. And I must say, there's nobody down here with a sandwich. And if you really want to get close to gulls, and if you really want to watch them and to observe their behaviour, they're really a very, very pleasant bird. You can get very, very close to them, and they don't give a damn what you're doing. So people who want to see gulls in a nicer light, in a better light, get down to the Spencer Dock where I am here, and I guarantee you, you'll enjoy them.
Terry, thank you very much indeed. I'm getting eyeballed by our producer, Anna, to take an ad break. So if you don't mind, that's what we'll do. Our email is mooney@rte.ie, or you can send your wildlife observations, wildlife recordings and questions via WhatsApp to 087 708 7031.
Send your wildlife recordings, questions and observations on WhatsApp to 087 708 7031.